Public Radio KMXT is supported by a grant from North Pacific Fuel, serving and continuing the tradition of excellent service to the community at three locations: Marine Dock at 715 Shelikoff Street, Gas and Go at the Y, and Gas and Go at Mill Bay.
It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station from beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is rainy and breezy. Out at the airport, they are showing 86% humidity, east winds to 21, gusting to 31, and they're down to 8 miles of visibility. The Weather Service is calling for rain today and tonight and tomorrow. Could be heavy at times today and this evening. They're also still warning of areas of blowing snow after 1 p.m. High near 40 today, southeast winds to 25, gusting to 35. Low around 36 tonight, east winds 25, gusting to 30. Coming up on the Midday Report, a housing and mental health policy expert visits with Jeremy Shea.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Jury deliberations are expected to begin tomorrow in former President Donald Trump's trial for battery and defamation. During closing arguments today in New York, the attorney for Trump's accuser, columnist E. Jean Carroll, reminded jurors of a 2005 Access Hollywood recording in which Trump is heard bragging about sexual assault, saying, "When you're a star, they let you do it." Carroll's attorney says that is what happened to her client in a department store dressing room in the mid-1990s. Trump's attorney argued the case is an affront to justice. Trump denies ever having any contact with Carroll. He has not appeared in court and has opted not to testify in his own defense. Police in Brownsville, Texas say the driver of an SUV that crashed into a crowd of people outside a migrant shelter has been charged with manslaughter. NPR's Joel Rose reports 8 people were killed, 10 others were injured.
Authorities identified the driver as 34-year-old George Alvarez of Brownsville. Police Chief Felix Sauceda says Alvarez has been charged with 8 counts of manslaughter and 10 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
The SUV ran a red light, lost control, flipped on its side, and struck a total of 18 individuals.
Police say Alvarez tried to flee but was held down by several people at the scene. Authorities are still investigating whether the crash was intentional. The victims were waiting for a bus outside a shelter for migrants and the unhoused. The shelter's director says all of the deceased were asylum seekers. Joel Rose, NPR News.
An investigation is also underway into a mass shooting in Allen, Texas, over the weekend that claimed at least 8 lives at a mall. Rising number of mass shootings in America is prompting more calls for gun control, including in Austin, Texas, today. Gun Violence Archive reports 202 mass shootings since the start of the year. President Biden has announced a new rule that would require U.S. airlines to compensate passengers for significant flight delays or cancellations when the carriers are responsible. NPR's Windsor Johnson has details.
President Biden says getting American air travelers a, quote, better deal will continue to be a top priority for the administration.
Historically, when delays and cancellations are the airline's fault, the law has only required airlines to refund customers the price of their flight ticket, but not the cost of meals or hotels or transportation when you get left in limbo.
The White House has already proposed new rules to refund fees for bags that are significantly delayed and refunds for services like onboard Wi-Fi that don't work. Some airlines have raised questions about whether the Department of Transportation has the legal authority to mandate compensation for delays. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed down 55 points, ending the day at 33,618. From Washington, this is NPR News.
NPR News es presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Nancy Burke has worked on housing and mental health issues in Alaska since 2002. She's a mental health clinician by training, but ended up working the policy side through the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority. Now Burke is leaving Alaska to lead a large nonprofit that operates housing, shelter, and supportive programs in downtown Denver. But before she does, she sat down with Alaska Public Media's Jeremy Shea to share her long view of Anchorage's homelessness response.
How has the way Anchorage talks about homelessness changed in the last 20 years?
Anchorage is talking about homelessness. That's like the big headline.
It was just not talked about in 20
years? We ignored it. Like, oh, yeah. No, everyone was, there were people in the woods, there were people on the street, and it was sort of relegated to nonprofits. Oh, well, the nonprofits will take care of that. And in fact, the municipality didn't have any investments in homelessness before the 2015 administration, the Berkowitz administration.
Really?
There was, there were some. There was maybe a couple hundred thousand dollars of federal pass-through funds, but there wasn't an investment in, like, let's figure out how we get people to housing. And then the people who took the brunt of the public challenges were the businesses, where people were in front of the businesses, the police, the fire department, those emergency response agencies, felt it. You know, we had these sites where lots of people were overcrowded, in our main shelter was overcrowded, and the police were responding like 100 times a month to those sites, and there was just no way to move out of that. Everyone was stuck.
Do you think the population experiencing homelessness has changed over the last 22 years as well, and the obstacles they face?
The population of people that are in our homeless service system experience, I think, disproportionate amounts of disabling conditions that other states have resources to address. So people who have mental health issues, substance use issues, because our state system is not robust. Our state system has been underfunded for decades, really. But what's happened in the last few years is the price of an apartment, the economics. And homelessness really is more driven by economics than some of the other things that people like to point at. But, you know, if a person has a disability and they receive Social Security or, you know, some of the programs that can help them financially, they might receive $1,100 or $1,200 a month, and that's what rent costs. So 100% of your check would go to rent. Where would you get your food? Where would you get, you know, the things you need? So economics really drives more of homelessness than other contributing factors.
Some people think that creating a more robust safety net for people experiencing homelessness itself perpetuates homelessness. What do you think about that idea?
You know, if you talk with anyone who's had to sleep in a location that had 100 other people on mats on the floor, they're going to tell you that it's harder to engage and be present and not just constantly be closed up trying to just survive, that it's harder to do the work to do to get out. I do believe that your system needs to be very carefully crafted and that you don't overbuild that emergency part of the system. How much time do you want people to spend in that shelter? You know, historically, there's been like a 30 to 90 days sort of number. You want zero people stuck in that homeless service system. You want them to be able to get the opportunity they need and get them out. What that takes on the other end is you have to build out the opportunities for veterans, for families, for adults, you know, with certain other kinds of conditions. You need to make sure you're building out this array of resources. And Anchorage just needs more time working on that array so that they can see what that throughput is and how much of a shelter system, a safety net do we need is the question.
Snowmelt accelerated erosion of a Tanana riverbank at Salcha over the weekend. National Weather Service hydrologist Ed Plum says increased flow caused the water to carve out into the bank, including at the location of an unoccupied home.
And yesterday, that house started to fall into the river, and a lot of the water from the Tanana is now pushing up against the Richardson Highway there.
Plum emphasized that the situation is not the result of an ice jam, but increased flow through a channel where the river has shifted in recent years.
The river's starting to migrate a little bit closer to the road.
Plum says a bar building as well as homes downstream could be threatened as warmer temperatures increase runoff into the river from upper elevation snowmelt.
Could likely cause more significant erosion.
The State Department of Transportation is working to shore up the area. DOT Northern Region spokesperson John Peralt says rock dumped along the riverbank yesterday should help to slow down the erosion.
It is an area that we've been aware of for a long time, but the erosion has accelerated to the point where we really needed to take steps.
Peralt says the DOT is keeping a close watch on the entire Richardson Highway Tanana River corridor from Salcha to Delta Junction for erosion trouble spots as breakup and snowmelt progress. The Sitka School Board has gone on record in opposition to a bill before the Alaska legislature that many expect would limit the rights of gender nonconforming students. The board's official resolution, passed at its regular meeting on May 3rd, also supports the inclusion of diverse perspectives, including LGBTQ+ and communities of color, in school materials and curricula. KCAW's Robert Woolsey has this report.
House Bill 105 was introduced by Governor Dunleavy in March as parental rights legislation, but it contains language to restrict sex education and require students to use restrooms designated for the sex they were assigned at birth. Board member Tristan Gavon drafted Sitka's resolution by cutting and pasting from similar resolutions appearing around the country. He said the rights of gender nonconforming or LGBTQ+ students have come under increasing threat.
And for me, we're talking about, you know, fundamental human and civil rights here, you know, and beyond kind of basic decency and caring that we should show everybody in our community.
The proposed law would also prohibit teachers and administrators from using the names or pronouns used by students without the permission of parents. It also would require parents to opt in with written permission to have their children receive sexual health education. Under current policy, children would attend those classes unless their parents opt out. That's the rationale behind the governor's calling it a parental rights bill. But many see that language as cover for the law's actual intent, which Gavon suggested could further stigmatize an already at-risk population.
LGBTQ students, you know, are more likely to be bullied, to experience physical assault, to report feelings of isolation, you know, attempts at suicide, much higher rates than their peers, and we see that, you know, here and throughout the nation.
Other board members rallied behind the resolution in opposition to HB 105. Melanie Board thanked Gavon for bringing it forward.
I want our schools to be welcoming and safe and for all students, and so I agree with every whereas and be it further resolved. This is an amazing document.
The board's student member, Felix Myers, said the Sitka High student body was working on its own resolution to deliver to the Association of Alaska Student Governments. He thought the two resolutions together would send a strong message.
We have to have a unilateral approach, you know. The adults in the room are against this. The students are against this because, you know, we care about all of our students, you know, no matter who they are.
The Sitka resolution runs across trends elsewhere in the country of book bans and other efforts to limit the accessibility of material about LGBTQ+ figures. The resolution states, the Sitka schools shall incorporate LGBTQ+ people and issues in school curricula, including in health and sex education. School libraries shall include materials that portray LGBTQ+ figures in a positive light, and schools shall ensure that the curricula include diverse perspectives, especially LGBTQ+ people of color and issues specific to communities of color. Board President Blossom Teal Olson said that House Bill 105 felt like a step backward for Alaska.
As a parent and as a person who has witnessed the growth of our society, it was really disheartening to see HB 105. It just affirms that we still need to stand up and speak out for basic human rights for everyone.
Lastly, the Sitka resolution opposes a pending policy decision before the Alaska School Activities Association that would ban transgender girls from girls' sports and activities. The resolution passed unanimously. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.
Ketchikan's Borough Assembly has struck down a move that would have rolled back senior tax exemptions on alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana. As KRBD's Reagan Miller reports, several residents spoke out against the idea at a recent meeting.
Ketchikan's Borough Assembly struck down a move that would have rolled back senior sales tax exemptions on alcohol, tobacco, and marijuana. Several residents spoke out against the idea at a recent meeting. A handful of citizens, both seniors and near seniors, turned out to show disappointment in the assembly for considering taking away a tax exemption for tobacco, alcohol, and marijuana. The complaints were varied. Some expressed concern that the move was a gateway to raising taxes on other items, or that their retirement plans could be affected by changing prices in the community. Others thought that the assembly was taking the wrong approach at trying to prevent health problems. Mike Holman told the assembly that to him, making seniors pay tax on those items seemed like virtue signaling.
If I thought paying a little extra tax on cigarettes and beer might help me stop smoking or drink less, I might vote for it myself. No, I'm here because I'm disgusted with the cavalier and I think to some extent virtue signaling manner in which you passed this in first reading.
Tom Ferry is close to qualifying for the exemption and doesn't think it will save much money or stop people from smoking or drinking.
Cigarettes are $14 a pack now. If that's not enough to make you quit, I don't know what is.
David Hayes argued that the move could hurt seniors who lived on a fixed income and questioned how much money it would actually save the borough.
I think, once again, if we're trying to curb the aberrant behavior of seniors, it's not going to work. And if this is an attempt to raise additional funds, all you're doing is taking money out of the pockets of many people who are on a fixed income and are least able to afford it.
Assemblymember Grant Echohawk was originally going to vote in favor of the change, but he said he changed his mind after having conversations with people who would be affected. He mentioned exploring other kinds of tax exemptions to save money.
I'd have to say, if there's one thing my mother taught me is when your seniors come and have words with you, you better listen.
Member Judith McQueary was one of the ordinance's sponsors and voted in favor. She said that by making the change, people could plan for spending extra money on those items in retirement.
The exemptions are for people 65. I see no reason why at 64 and a half you pay tax, at 65 you don't pay tax. I would prefer to put this in, like, down in the future so that people that are 50 know that when they hit 65, there won't be an exemption. That would help with planning.
The ordinance failed with 5 members voting against it and 2 for it. And during the roughly 6-hour meeting, Ketchikan's Borough Assembly also decided to postpone introducing an ordinance that would approve a roughly $46 million budget for the school district. Assemblymember Jeremy Bynum asked to delay any decisions on that issue until the next regular meeting later this month. He argued that more information was needed and said there hadn't been enough time to review the budget before the meeting.
This hopefully would let us know exactly kind of where we're going to be at. This doesn't in any way prohibit the school district from having an appropriate budget. It doesn't prevent us from passing a budget for them, but it does give us more time to collaborate with staff.
The assembly plans to revisit the ordinance at the next regular meeting on May 15th. A public hearing on the budget is set for May 22nd. Borough staff say that the assembly has until May 26th to approve the budget request.
Support for KMXT comes from GCI. GCI is a participant in the Affordable Connectivity Program, providing qualifying Alaska households entry-level broadband internet. More information at gci.com/acp.
Airlines may soon have to pay if your flight's delayed or canceled.
I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Minute. The U.S. Transportation Department plans to develop new rules requiring airlines to pay cash compensation when passengers wait 3 hours or more past their flight's scheduled departure time. Currently, none of the major airlines do, but Alaska and JetBlue offer travel credits. Tyson Foods today reported a $100 million quarterly loss. The meat processor expects the year to be challenging because of higher costs and declining prices for beef and pork. Warren Buffett's conglomerate, Berkshire Hathaway, posted a quarterly operating profit of $8 billion. The company also made nearly $2 billion selling some of its stock investments. I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Monday. It is the 8th day of May, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 6:01. It will set again at 10:12. That will give us 16 hours and 11 minutes of daylight, a gain of 4 minutes and 25 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 60 degrees, set in 1918, and our record low was 22, that was set in 1972. Currently 38 degrees, it's rainy and breezy. Expect this rain to continue and be heavy at times throughout the day and into the evening. For tomorrow, rain too, mainly before 10 a.m., high near 46 tomorrow, southeast winds to 5. Expect gusty winds tonight, though, east winds 25, coming down to 20 or so after midnight. Looking at our local tides, we have a high tide coming up at 5:15 here on the east side. That will be a 6.7-foot tide, followed by a low tide at 10:20 p.m. of 2.6 feet, and another big low tide tomorrow morning at 11:29. That will be a minus 1.3-foot tide here on the east side at 11:30 tomorrow morning. Over on the west side, your next high tide will be at 5:30 p.m. and be 12.2 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a low tide at 11 p.m. of 3.8 feet. And your big low tide for tomorrow morning is 11:52, just about 12 noon. That will be minus 2-foot tide in Larsen Bay. Mariners, here's your forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanat, Kodiak's east side, out to 15 miles. Small craft advisory through tonight. Southeast winds to 30 knots and seas to 6 feet, building to 11 feet this afternoon. For tonight, southeast 30, becoming variable 10, except north of Dangerous Cape, east 30. Seas to 11 feet tonight on our east side. For tomorrow, southeast 15, seas to 6 feet. Tomorrow night, northeast 25, seas to 10 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, gale warning through tonight. East winds to 30 knots, seas building to 10 feet this afternoon in the Shelikof. For tonight, east 35, seas to 10 feet. And for tomorrow, on our west side, northeast 30, seas to 7 feet, coming up to 11 feet tomorrow night. Here are some meetings going on in the Kodiak Island Borough. For Wednesday, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. On Thursday, the Assembly will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. On next Wednesday, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be having a regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. And next Thursday, the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be having a regular meeting in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. All meetings are open to the public, and meeting packets are available on the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. The Kodiak City Council will be holding a budget work session today at 4 p.m. This meeting is open to the public and will be web-streamed as well, web-streaming link, and meeting packets are available online. The meeting itself will be at the Kodiak Public Library. go to the City of Kodiak website for a link to stream it on the web or for packets. If you have any other questions, contact the Kodiak City Clerk's Office at 907-486-8636. And the City Council will be having a work session on Tuesday as well. That's happening at 7:30 p.m. and a regular meeting on Thursday at 7:30 p.m. The meetings are open to the public, and they will also be web-streamed. Streaming links and meeting packets are available online at the City of Kodiak website. If you need any other more information, contact the Kodiak City Clerk's Office at 907-486-8636. AMSI is conducting fishing vessel jewel conductor classes again. It's happening Wednesday and Thursday, May 24th and 25th, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Kodiak Seafood and Marine Science Center. The cost for the class is free for Kodiak commercial fishermen and $225 for others. The class meets the U.S. Coast Guard's training requirements for drill conductors on commercial fishing vessels. You can register online at www.amsea.org or call them on the phone at 907-747-3287. This Saturday at the Benny Benson Building of the Kodiak College, you can meet Marissa Trombley from the Alaska Bird Treatment and Learning Center and learn all kinds of amazing things about her feathered friend, Breland, the peregrine falcon. It all starts at 10:30 through 11:45 with a bird feeder building presentation. At noon through 12:30, the virtual presentation featuring Marissa and Breland will be presented followed by a Q&A session. And again, that's Saturday, May 13th at the Benny Benson Building, starting at 10:30 a.m. Have you ever wondered about your family's history, where you're from, what's your family's story? Kodiak History Museum, Kodiak Public Library, and St. Herman's Theological Seminary Archives have the event for you. Join them on Thursday, May 18th. That's Thursday, May 18th. From 5:30 to 7 p.m. for a genealogical event at the Kodiak Public Library. It's a free event to teach you how to start your genealogical journey and show you, with demonstrations, all the resources available to you. For more information, call the Kodiak History Museum at 907-486-5920. And the Kodiak Community Blood Drive is coming up. That's going on from Thursday, May 25th through Monday, May 29th. At the Alaska Army National Guard Armory. You can schedule your appointment on the phone with Tara Cupp at 907-654-5300. It goes 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. The Mountain Goat Marathon program is underway. You run or walk a full marathon in 26 weeks' time. It's for kids ages 8 to 15. Weekly sessions are held at the Joe Floyd Track. I believe it's under the scoreboard. The last session will conclude during the KMXT Run the Rock race on October 14th. You can register online or in person at the Kodiak Public Health Center or at the Kodiak Teen Center. It's free to participate and no running experience is necessary. If you have any questions, call them on the phone at 907-744-4976. DEC Boaters. The DEC is asking boaters to leave no trace and don't poo in the blue. With the summer boating season approaching, the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation reminds recreational and commercial boaters it is illegal to discharge untreated sewage anywhere in the state's fresh waters or marine waters within 3 miles of Alaska's shores. This includes dumping buckets, leaning over the rail, as well as bypassing the holding tanks of an onboard toilet, whether in a harbor, at anchor, on the fishing grounds, or while underway, which you probably shouldn't do anyway. Untreated human waste can harm both aquatic and human life by contaminating marine ecosystems and transmitting diseases to other people, says Commissioner Brune. Discharging untreated sewage is illegal, and it hurts their efforts to be good stewards of our waters as Alaskans. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. Suicide is a reality many in our community have to live with. But what do you know about it, and how can you talk about it? Learn how to support each other's mental health by joining KWRCC for a free presentation, Talk Saves Lives, on Wednesday, May 17th, from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. at the Kodiak Women's Resource and Crisis Center. It's free and open to the public. Call them at 907-486-6171 for more information.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.